Memorial Stadium in Clemson, South Carolina, where the game of the weekend is about to unfold.
Calma, regresa al backfield. De Sean Watson, pase, touchdown! Touchdown, Clemson! Renzo! Con un segundo!
Nice work, everyone. Sharp broadcast. Really good. Everyone on the floor as well. Really a lot of hustle. I liked it.
How great is this? This could be the final play of the college season, perhaps, if Clemson gets a touchdown to win it. If Bama can hold him out, perhaps a field goal attempt for overtime. Watson, touchdown! Hunter Renfro, little man, makes another enormous play.
And Clemson runs out of the field and celebrates. They come to California and strike gold.
And now, William Quackenbush and Ben Milstead with Out of Bounds on the Roar.
Welcome in. Glad to have you with us. Live on the Roar on a Friday, March 17th, 2023, in case you were wondering. Thanks so much for joining us here on Out of Bounds today. William Quackenbush, Ben Milstead. There has never been a better day to be indoors. Just never. It's gross outside. I realized last night my wife needed gas in the car. And so, of course, she's working from home today. And so I had to get out when it first started raining and get gas in the car. And I was like, bro, this is a great day to sit on the couch for 12 hours and watch basketball. And I don't know why I stopped at 12 hours, because it really is like 13 hours. Because you know that last game, that 10:05, ain't starting at 10:05, and it's going to be at least 12:30. I'm jacked to watch ball today, Ben. How are you?
I am too, Quack. Happy Friday to you. William Quackenbush is over there in his Indiana Hoosiers t-shirt, his red t-shirt. I like it. I like it. I hope today goes well for you, my friend. Can I tell you this? Today is also St. Patrick's Day. You know who is surprised by that? This guy.
Yeah.
Did you happen to notice what I had on yesterday, Quack?
Bright green.
Add on my green t-shirt.
Oh, you know, yeah.
Everybody has one.
Your one green t-shirt?
Yes. I know that you have one. I've seen you wear it like with purple and...
Oh, yes. Just,
you know.
And you know what? If I'm not wearing that, I'll just break out the mint green shorts and let that go.
Yeah. I thought yesterday was St. Patrick's Day. And I walked into the building. I didn't say anything to anybody, but I was like, am I the only one that is with the celebratory spirit of the St. Patrick's Day? Like a bunch of Debbie Downers at work here. Nobody dressed in green. Yeah, that's my bad.
You know what? I forget about St. Patrick's Day the further removed I get from being a college student. I always knew when St. Patrick's Day was because it was always on my radar. Clemson has the Aunt Patty's Day bar crawl the weekend before St. Patrick's Day. That was this past weekend, Ben. When I was a student, I was always aware, like, don't go downtown. I never was, like, a bar crawl person. I just didn't go out very much, even when I was, like, legal. I just wasn't really about that life.
I like how you throw that in there.
Even when I was legal.
Implying that maybe I was before.
You know, you know, that 18 to 20 period is when you're, like, you know, I can go out, but there's probably some limitation. I mean, some people go hard, but I was like, I got to be careful what I do and don't do because I'm a rule follower. And but anyway, I just always knew when that was, because like you don't want to go downtown that day. You don't. And so it gets on your radar then. Well, now I have to like let my laptop tell me when St. Patrick's Day is.
Yeah, well, my laptop let me down. It failed me because, as I said, I thought it was yesterday.
Can I tell you, I don't want to like, I don't want to make this a How's Your Bracket show, but I am curious because I think a lot of people did pretty well yesterday. Now if you wanted complete carnage, you did not do well. If you really liked Arizona, you did not do well. If you had Houston winning at all, you probably stayed up later than you wanted last night. If you had Tennessee going far, that was a little bit perilous at the end of the day. But by and large, I mean, I got 12 picks right. The only ones I missed were in the top left bracket in that Alabama regional with Virginia and West Virginia. I missed both of those. And then I missed Arizona and Utah State. And the rest I got. And I felt really good about those. Auburn over Iowa in a coin flip. Northwestern over Boise in a coin flip. Those were just a couple. And I really had a good time watching basketball yesterday. Now, of course, I watched our game in the women's NIT where Clemson beat High Point by 20. Congratulations to Amanda Butler and her team for holding a prolific three-point shooting team under 50 points. And a team that won 13 games in the Big South Conference and earlier in the year played two ACC teams, and that matched the margin of defeat of High Point's game against Virginia Tech, who, by the way, is a one seed in the women's basketball tournament, a team that Clemson beat earlier in the season.
Well, yeah, great win for the Lady Tigers. Yeah, happy for them. And the stat that you tweeted out about Amanda Butler last night, Quark, I'll let you tell it. That just blew my mind.
It is my favorite stat of all the stats that are statting right now. It is that since she became the coach at Clemson 5 seasons ago, Amanda Butler is now 8-0 in the opening games of postseason tournaments. She is 5-0 in Greensboro at the ACC tournament. She has never lost an opener in the ACC tournament. She is now 2-0 in the opening game of the NIT, and she is 1-0 in the opening game of the NCAA tournament. 8 consecutive wins in openers. And that's as a favorite and an underdog and everything in between. That rocks. That's an unbelievable stat.
One could say that she is maybe the antithesis of Tony Bennett.
Oh, yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. Speaking of consistency, Virginia falls yesterday. We're going to talk to Brett Friedlander about this in the next segment. I'm interested to hear his take on this as somebody who is very much attuned with what's going on in the ACC. And we'll keep you abreast of every game that's happening today. One game is just about to tip off. We have the first game of the day. It is USC and Michigan State. Ben, I'm going to go ahead and give this pick out before we get to Virginia and Tony Bennett. We talked about this game yesterday. USC's body clock is like just getting breakfast right now. It's 9:11 Pacific time, and they are in a coin flip game against Michigan State. Ben, I got it at -1.5 earlier this morning. I'm putting $40 on that bad boy. This is my favorite pick of the day. Michigan State -1.5. USC, this is an intricacy of the matchup, too. USC has a very good paint defense, but Michigan State is a top 10 three-point shooting team, so that's not really going to matter all that much. Give me Michigan State -1.5 here. I think this is a game where Sparty rolls because USC won't wake up until halftime.
That's a pick. Well,
I too am on that side of the ledger with you, Quok. I too took Michigan State in the opener. I saw it at 2.5, but if you're taking it at 1.5, by gosh, I'm taking it at 1.5.
Get it 1.5. Love that.
Now, your point of them. Their body clock is valid. I did hear, though, that they came out 3 days early in order to adjust. So that's a double-edged sword, though, because, you know, on one hand, it's going to help you with the time change and to get acclimated, obviously. On the other hand, you're practicing in weird locations and in a different environment. I don't know, to each his own. I would think if I'm a player, I'm probably practicing harder in my gym at home. So we'll see if that pays off for them. I haven't been that impressed with Southern Cal this year.
I haven't either. Like I say, they're not a prolific team. They're certainly, I think they're fun because they're incredibly athletic, as you would expect from Andy Enfield and just the way that his Florida Gulf Coast teams. Speaking of 15s over twos, we're going to talk about that. Of course, he made his name with that Dunk City FGCU team that knocked off Georgetown as a 2 seed a few years ago. But this USC team has some really good athletes, but I think the skill at the guards for Michigan State is too much. And like I say, I think the things that USC takes away are things that Michigan State already doesn't do that great. And so if Michigan State continues to shoot the ball well, which they have throughout the course of the season, then I think they'll be in good shape today. How is your bracket look? Like, what's the outlook like after yesterday, Ben?
You know, I feel good about it. You and I both got 12 correct, and I tell you this, I mean, it's too late now. I missed Northwestern Boise State. I took Northwestern, but I clicked on the wrong thing. I really did.
That happens every year to me, that in one of my brackets, my bracket of integrity, I try to copy and paste it mm-hmm. multiple places, and I will always get one wrong, yeah. and it makes me furious.
So, I mean, I'm watching that game last night, and I'm like, okay, I'm good. Northwestern's going to win this thing. And, you know, in my mind, I remembered all of the picks. I'm counting them up. Like, okay, that's one in the win column, and I come in here today and log in, and I didn't, but it's okay. Arizona hurt everybody. Obviously, it's just really a matter of how far you went with them. I went to the Elite Eight with them, so that hurts me. And then, of course, I had Texas A&M winning their first three games, so that's going to hurt as well. Texas A&M, you were high on Penn State. A&M was the biggest disappointment of the day for me. That's the one that who's even more so than Arizona and Princeton, because you could see, okay, Princeton, you could give them some issues, and that's easy to overlook. I did not think A&M would overlook Penn State, and they didn't. They just simply got beat. And I was most disappointed with how they played, because I think they have looked like a better team than what they showed yesterday, and they just wet the bed.
The reason I took Penn State was a math problem. Now, I think Penn State, it was basically which style of play is going to win out. And we kind of knew that. Even no matter who you took, you were taking a style of play chance. If the game was more about threes, Penn State was going to win. If the game was more about paint touches and free throws, Texas A&M was going to win, because that's how Texas A&M beats everybody. A lot of fouls in their games. Rough and tumble, low possessions, trigger the ball in, inside out with bigger guards that frustrate shooters. Penn State was 13 of 22 from three. Even for Penn State, that is incredibly good. Ben, I made a list of the top individual players that really impressed me. Penn State is the only team that got two on my list.
Really?
Check out these stat lines from yesterday, okay? This is outrageous. This is how well Penn State is playing right now. You have Andrew Funk. I was listening on radio coming back from Clemson last night, and the radio play-by-play guy said, Downtown Funk is fired up tonight. And I was like, okay, that's a nice play. And Uptown Funk, and also he has made eight threes. 27 points on 8 of 10 from three-point range. That's unconscious.
That's awesome.
All right, he was not the best player on Penn State, though. Check out this stat line from Jalen Pickett, who is an absolute nightmare matchup. He played all 40 minutes, not a second off the floor for Penn State last night. Side note, they should have got Jalen Pickett out of the game. But that's neither here nor there. I'm good with it. 19 points, 7 boards, 8 assists, 0 turnovers, 40 minutes.
Oh, that is strong.
You want to talk about a great game. Now, he took 18 shots. 16 twos with that inverted post, back everybody down for half the shot clock into the lane. He wasn't great from the floor. But you want to talk about an elite floor game right there. A&M had no chance, because they ended up taking 34 threes. They were in comeback mode. They just could not impose their will. I agree with you. I was most disappointed in Texas A&M, because I did think that they would be able to kind of drag Penn State down a little bit. And they never were able to impose their style of play. But in some ways, if Penn State is going to make 59% of their threes, you know, Texas State, some of those were not uncontested threes. A lot of those were contested, or they were deep threes, and they were just knocking them in. I felt like Penn State, You know, the two teams that really impressed me yesterday that won, like, big, Penn State, and I thought UCLA was really impressive. I thought UNC Asheville could push them. They scored, like, the first 13 points of the game. That game was over in a flash.
Yeah.
You want to talk about a team that imposed their style. I felt like, whereas Candace Parker said it because I was up at, you know, quarter of one watching the post game. you know, I had to go to True TV for the post game. Candace Parker made an interesting point. She said a lot of these 1 and 2 seeds, even the ones that won, kind of messed around with the 15s and 16s. Like even Alabama, Kansas.
You saw a lot of close games at halftime yesterday in those matchups.
You just had those teams that didn't really separate, and UCLA separated immediately. So in that ecosystem, I think UCLA was really impressive yesterday.
I couldn't agree more. They never allowed UNC Asheville to make a run or get in the game at all. It was, as you said, over before it really started.
USC Michigan State underway, 3 minutes in right now. Kennesaw State Xavier coming up at 12:40 this afternoon. Other games in our viewing window, or our listening window. UCSB and Baylor, be very careful with the Bears in this one. And then that's at 1:30. VCU St. Mary's at 2 o'clock. Vermont Marquette at 2:45. We've got picks and analysis of all those. We'll also go back and talk about some of the games from yesterday. When we return, though, Brett Friedlander, I want to ask him about Tony Bennett. I want to ask him about NC State Creighton. Ask him about Norchad Omier. We'll do all of that after this. Stay with us.
It's not too early to start thinking about new patio furniture from Kraft Stove Store and Patio. Your patio deserves classic styles that will last you a lifetime. Brands like Summer Classics, Hanamint, Tropitone, Lloyd Flanders, Palm Spring Rattan, Meadowcraft, and Breezesta. Shop now for classic lifetime patio furniture at Kraft Stove Store and Patio in Greenville. Start shopping at craftstovestore.com. Then visit them on Wade Hampton Boulevard, Greenville.
Kraft Stove Store and Patio.
Standing water or that musty smell in your basement can be a sign of major problems. Canty Foundation Specialists are your local experts in basement waterproofing and crawl space repair. Call us today for a free estimate.
Canty can fix it.
Call the local experts for a free estimate. Call Canty Foundation Specialist at 864-403-5263 and ask about transferable warranties and available financing. That's 864-403-5263. Or online at CantyCanFixIt.com.
Outstanding customer service and incredible prices, along with special requests. See why Anderson Beverage Outlet knocks it out of the park with their customer reviews. They're your go-to destination for wine, beer, and spirits, offering 3% savings for law enforcement, healthcare, and military professionals. Score a grand slam with their customer appreciation program. Anderson Beverage Outlet, your home team for adult beverages. 140 Commons Parkway, Anderson. In front of Lowe's and Target.
McNeely Store and Rental, your hometown local steel dealer for sales and service. With spring around the corner, Steel has leaf blowers, trimmers, chainsaws, and mowers that'll make your life simple. With both gas and electric models, our AK battery homeowner systems start at just $199.99. They're not sold at Home Depot or Lowe's. Two convenient locations in Clemson and West Union. Learn more at McNeelyStoreandRental.SteelDealer.net. Call 654-9187 Clemson or 718-1449 West Union.
Discover credit cards automatically double all the cash back you earn at the end of your first year, which means...
Wait, hold up. Question for the audio engineer.
Go ahead.
Did I read that right? Discover automatically doubles all your cash back?
Yeah, that's what the script says.
So if I get a Discover card right now, I can earn twice the cash back.
Apparently. Wait! Unlimited first-year cash back match, only from Discover. See terms and learn more at discover.com/match.
Guys, listen up. Have you been struggling with ED? If so, we have some great news. There is finally a treatment for ED that requires no pills, no injections, and no surgery. This is the latest medical breakthrough for the treatment of erectile dysfunction. Greenville Men's Clinic is proud to offer the most advanced form of acoustic wave therapy, which has been proven to increase blood flow, reverse ED, and increase size. Stop wasting your time with pills that produce side effects and have little to no results. Medical institutions at Cambridge University and Cleveland Clinic have shown this technology to be safe with no side effects. So, if you're looking for a proven solution, call Greenville Mint Clinic today. They have performed over 12,000 treatments with outstanding results and can help you, too. Call Greenville Mint Clinic, 864-301-1111. That's 301-1111. Or GreenvilleMintClinic.com. That's GreenvilleMintClinic.com.
Powered by Upcountry Fiber, we are 105.5 and 97.5 The Roar. Providing fiber internet, HD TV, and phone service, Upcountry Fiber is a stronger connection.
We're your sports psychologists. Taking your calls on the Vibe broadband phone lines all day. You're listening to 105.5 and 97.5 The Roar. Where every day is game day.
You know, outside the fact that I love this jam and I know it triggers so many true country fans that Tim McGraw put his name on this song with Nelly, I feel like this is every Virginia basketball fan today, isn't it? Isn't that it? I keep picturing you with him, and it hurts so bad. That's just picturing Furman in the second round. That's what it is. We're going to ask Brett Friedlander about this. He is at SaturdayRoad.com and at BFriedACC on Twitter. A lot of good ACC storylines and some not good ACC storylines at postseason play that we'll get to with Brett as our normal Friday guest. Brett, what's up, man?
Basketball, I think.
Yeah, I think so. It's you know what? The weather sucks outside today. We've already had baseball and softball postponed today, so it will be 13 hours of straight just absolute madness basketball-wise for us in the upstate today.
Yes, and I've got a green Lucky Charms shirt to wear today to the games for St. Patrick's Day, so I'm fired up.
And yesterday
I got my picture taken with the Providence Friar mascot, that scary looking thing. So I'm doing good already. I'm doing better than Tony Bennett.
You know what? I was going to ask you about it because you wrote a great column, and the title of the piece was NCAA Tournament Offers ACC a Chance to Change Its Narrative Again. And Ben and I and you on Friday, we've talked about that so many times this year, about how the ACC last year really solidified itself as an underrated league by the way that some of his teams performed in the tournament. Virginia did not exactly start things off with a bang, and you could couple that with Clemson and Virginia Tech getting bounced in the NIT as well. It feels kind of different this time, right?
Let's deal with those two subjects differently. Let's start with Clemson, because that's where your listeners' allegiances lie. I put zero. I mean, if there is a number less than zero, I put it stock in, you know, what Clemson's loss means. This is an annual thing, and it happened to Rutgers, too. Teams that think they should be in the big dance in the Field of 68, they accept the invitation to play in the NIT. Their heart is not in it. And it's just, they kind of go through the motions, and especially when you get up big early and then you take your foot off the accelerator, things like that happen. So, you know, there are a lot of people who have already gone out on social media and said, see, told you so. And it's okay. Give you an example. It's kind of like when you go to college. Okay. You can either join a fraternity and get involved in student government and all that stuff. Or you can sit in your dorm, drink beer and all that kind of stuff. You make your choice. And Clemson and Rutgers chose to really not necessarily be engaged, and so I throw that out. Virginia, yeah. Listen, Furman was a horrible, horrible matchup for Virginia. Just because they shoot threes well, they defend as aggressively as Virginia does. They were just a team that kind of was almost a mirror image of Virginia, but with better offense. And it just, when I filled out my bracket, I picked it. I had a feeling this was going to happen. Now, having that said that, Virginia was up, should have closed it out, and everybody's looking at K.A. Clark and the absolutely horrendous pass that he made. But if Isaac McNeely makes the front end of that 1-1,
yep,
we're not talking about this today, and the ACC is 4-0.
You know, it's fascinating. I do go back to the free throw shooting because we were on air live, and we're kind of, obviously we're not giving play by play, but we're really hanging on every possession at the end of the game, and you could start to see some cracks in Virginia because some guys that are generally reliable at the line were missing free throws. Clark is reliable, McNeely is reliable, like you said, and they missed Vanderplas. The one area they didn't miss Vanderplas was at the line where he was a liability at the end, yep, of games. And yet that's what failed them first, before the Clark pass and before Furman hits a shot and all that, the foul shooting. And it was, I don't know where it came from, Brett, but that was a team that felt real legitimate pressure. And I got to admit, I was a little surprised about that.
You know, it's kind of interesting too. And there've been a lot of hate on Tony Bennett here in the last 24 hours as well, and his ability to coach in the tournament. But I'll tell you what, and I don't buy that, but listen, look back to the game that they were in the Elite Eight. I can't remember what year it was, 2017 maybe. They're playing Syracuse. They were up big. Syracuse went into a full court press, and just Virginia could not handle it, and they ended up losing the game. I cannot remember who Virginia played in the first game of the ACC tournament that they played. Wow. I wish I could.
This year?
Carolina?
Yeah, they played, yeah, North Carolina this year, yes.
Well, they got a big Carolina press, and it became a close game at the end. And I'm thinking, you know, maybe, and I didn't really watch much of the game because I was busy doing advanced stuff for Pittsburgh and Greensboro, and I just kind of watched the end of it. But I'm wondering, did Furman start pressing? Did they speed Virginia up? Because when Virginia gets sped up on offense, Virginia does not handle it well.
They did, and they did a little bit of, like, token ball pressure, some things that we suggested they might do, and then they kind of cranked it up at the end of the game, yes.
And they also, Brad,
yeah, that's when they came back.
They switched to, like, a 1-3-1 defense, and Virginia had no idea how to handle that. The thing that I don't understand is that you have had so many quality coaches in the ACC during this same time as Tony Bennett who can't figure this out, who can't figure out how to play against Virginia, but yet you go to a tournament and it seems like everybody, nobody is caught off guard by this. And I keep forgetting that that's the case. I don't understand that.
It's strange. I don't either. I don't either. I mean, you've seen games, and actually in the second half, Duke kind of started to figure it out this year in Charlottesville, and you know, you remember how that game ended. But and then they did it in the ACC tournament as well. They kind of, but you know, listen, I mean, Duke also kind of got discombobulated by the two. I mean, toward the end, I mean, they had a big lead and nearly blew it. So I don't know. It's crazy, and you would think that at some point they would figure it out. But you know what? There's a whole bunch of new coaches in the ACC, so maybe this group will figure it out, right?
Visiting with Brett Friedlander here on the program. Check him out at @BFriedACC on Twitter. He's got some great work for you to peruse as we get ready for a Friday of March Madness at SaturdayRoad.com. Speaking of Duke, I loved Oral Roberts, and I was ready to advance Oral Roberts, and I didn't because Duke was just a horrible matchup. And Jeremy Roach, I thought Roach had a great game. 23 points, 3 assists, but he held Abmas, the point guard for Oral Roberts, to 4 of 15 and 5 turnovers. To me, that was the biggest difference for Duke yesterday, right?
It was one of the biggest differences. I thought the other biggest difference was Derek Lively II around the rim.
Oh, yeah.
He had 6 block shots. And he's starting to add an offensive element to his game. And then Dariq Whitehead is making shots like that, Duke is going a very long way. And I'm telling you, that team has been trending in the right direction for a month now. And I still don't think that they've reached their ceiling. I think they're going to the Final Four, especially with Arizona out of the – I believe that Arizona was in their bracket, right? I mean
– they are – let's see. They're in the Purdue one. Yeah, they would match up with Purdue in a Sweet 16. Marquette is a two seed in that one.
Oh, Marquette, okay. Well, that's, you know, first of all, let's go to Purdue. I think if Duke takes care of Tennessee tomorrow, and I think they're going to take care of them pretty solidly, I love the matchup for Duke. Zach Edey is the best college player in the country. He's 7'4", but he's not real athletic. And Duke can run 3 7-footers out there to guard him, to get him in foul trouble, and to dribble around him and get to the rim. I just think that he's going to – Duke is going to be a matchup nightmare for him. And then you throw in Roach and Proctor and Whitehead on the perimeter. I just love the way Duke is playing right now. I think John Shire is extremely prepared for this task. I mean, he's won a national championship as a player. He sat next to Mike Krzyzewski for 7 years. I just love the way they're playing, no matter who they're playing right now.
All right, I want to talk about a veteran coach in the ACC, and that is Miami and Jim Larrañaga. Norchad Omier appears to be giving it a go today. I don't know what that means because Marcus Sasser played for Houston, and he obviously was limited last night. I'm still concerned about the matchup and the injury. How concerned are you about Miami going against Drake?
I think it's all going to come down to what they can get from Omier. He is an elite rebounder. He's the only real inside presence that they have. I mean, they have a couple of guys who played halfway decent against Duke in the semifinals of the ACC tournament, but they just aren't the same. If he is 75%, Miami's going to win this game. Drake is a good team, but Miami is a much better team. Miami is a much more experienced team. They've got elite talent. Nigel Pack, ACC Player of the Year, even though I probably didn't vote for him. Isaiah Wong, Jordan Miller, who got some votes for Player of the Year. I mean, there's just way too much talent if they can rebound and defend in the paint.
Let me ask you about Pittsburgh. I was not surprised that Pitt beat Mississippi State because Mississippi State can't throw the ball in the ocean from the beach. But they're going to have to play a lot better to beat Iowa State today. That is a team that can score and is elite defensively. What do you make of Pitt's chances this afternoon?
You got to make threes. And the other thing too is to watch is John Henson played at Iowa State. Actually, he didn't play at Iowa State. He attended Iowa State for the past two seasons.
Yes,
and did not appear in a game. Yesterday, when he was asked about that, he basically no commented. I'm not talking about that. So apparently he did not leave under the best of circumstances. And there's some personal issues there. And I would be interested to see how, he handles this, because either he could come out and have, Blake Henson. I don't know why I said John Henson. If he comes out and has a huge game, that could be a difference maker.
All right, time for a couple of more here. NC State, there are lots of folks, including Ben Milstead, who have got NC State here. I see Creighton as similar to Clemson in the way they play, and I just think it's a tough matchup, but I could see it going the other way, Brett. Where do you lean on the Creighton-NC State matchup this afternoon?
Well, I've got two factors that I'm really kind of considering in this. Number one, is the good Terquavion Smith going to show up or the bad Terquavion Smith going to show up? Because you saw the good Terquavion in their first ACC tournament game against Virginia Tech, and he went for 30, and I can't remember what I think he made like 5 3-pointers. And then you saw the bad Terquavion in both of the Clemson games where he, like you said, couldn't throw the ball in the ocean from the beach. If he makes jumpers, NC State is in real good shape because you know what you're going to get from Jarkel Joyner. The other thing that concerns me a little bit is altitude and DJ Burns. Mm. How is it going to affect his stamina? Now, there were questions about his stamina all season, but he has really answered them. But I want to see how long he can go and how hard he can go, in that thin air up there in Denver. And without Greg Gant, and I don't think he's playing because yesterday I saw a picture of him at their practice and he was still walking with a crutch. Without him, you know, it's going to have to be DJ and then a small lineup. So I want to see how effective he is, if he can stay out of foul trouble. If those two things happen, I think NC State's got a great chance with this.
All right, finally, Dontrezl Styles said something interesting when he was asked about the NIT. He said that it was basically Hubert Davis's choice. Now, I don't know that he's a reliable messenger just based on how the rest of that press conference went. I'm not really sure. But just your thoughts on North Carolina. We talked about the Clemson-Virginia Tech factor in the NIT, but North Carolina not playing and maybe some disconnect, because it really sounded like the players maybe didn't want to play, but then one of the players is saying that Hubert didn't want to play. I don't know what's going on there.
Well, you know how disconnected Clemson was in the NIT and how disinterested they were? Multiply that by a million.
Yeah.
I was in the locker room after they lost to Virginia, and I'm telling you, that was a team that had enough and had enough of each other. My guess is that the older guys didn't want to play. The younger guys might have, and it might not have been a bad idea to accept the invitation and then start all the bench guys and just to see how they could have done and maybe moving forward. Interesting you should mention Dontrezl Styles, because about 10 minutes ago it just came over that he has entered the transfer portal.
Oh.
So that makes three now. My guess is he's not going to be the last. And I wrote a column earlier this week that UNC needs to blow this up. You know, Hubert has basically got Roy's team. The core was recruited by Roy Williams. The COVID year, they were going to miss out on the NCAA tournament if the NCAA tournament didn't get canceled. The year that Roy left, they barely made it into the NCAA tournament as an 8 seed and got waxed by Wisconsin in the first round. Okay, they had one good month last year, and they had a crappy season this year. So why do you want to run it back one more time? I mean, you can only knock your head against the wall so many times before you figure out that it hurts and you stop doing it. But, I mean, Baycott's talking about coming back. R.J. Davis is talking about coming back. I think it's the worst thing they could possibly do. And for Hubert, he needs to get his own crew in there so that they could play the style that he wants, which, by the way, is a positionless stretch five kind of situation, and not a guy clogging up the lane like Armando Baycott, as good as he is. And, you know, if Hubert doesn't watch it, he's going to get Matt Daugherty, and they're going to bring in Jerry Stackhouse or Wes Miller, because I can tell you right now, the money is not happy. And another season like this, and they may cut their losses quickly. And so if I'm Hubert, I'm cleaning house, and I want everybody that is in the program that I recruited, and I recruited them to fit my style. So we'll see how this goes. But, you know, it may be last man out, you know, turn off the lights there in Chapel Hill.
Interesting stuff. Brett, as always, we appreciate it. Follow him on Twitter at BFreedACC and check out his great work at SaturdayRoad.com. You'll regret it if you don't. Thanks, man. Enjoy a nice long weekend of basketball, and we will talk to you again next week.
Sounds good. Talk to you too.
All right. That is Brett Friedlander joining the party. Xavier and Kennesaw State underway. We'll give thoughts on that game coming up. Also, Michigan State up a significant amount early on against USC. We'll talk more games from yesterday, games from today, and then some other nonsense we haven't gotten to this week as we continue on with Out of Bounds next.
Gentlemen, erectile dysfunction or low T got you down? Take action now and turn your life around. Call Greenville Men's Clinic at 301-1111 or greenvillemensclinic.com. Make the call today, 301-1111 or greenvillemensclinic.com.
This weekend, the Clemson Tigers begin ACC play inside Doug Kingsmore Stadium as they host the Duke Blue Devils. The start of conference play is always an exciting time, and the Tigers look to start off ACC play strong with some wins. Broadcasts begin 5:30 on Friday, 1:30 on Saturday, and 12:30 on Sunday. Catch it all right here on the Clemson Athletic Network.
We are 105.5 and 97.5 The Roar, where every day is game day.
Shopping at Ingles is where it's at, right? If you're on the run or you don't have time to make a meal, a trip to your Ingles Deli is the best bet for fresh and prepared foods to go. They have everything you need for you and your team, whether at home or at the tailgate. How about a beautiful arrangement from the Ingles Floral Department to give a friend or a loved one a nice pick-me-up? Be sure to use that Ingles Advantage card because it saves you real money at the 24-hour Ingles Gas Express pumps. Did you know Ingles has a great choice of gluten-free products to choose from? Go to Ingles-Markets.com and you'll find a huge list of those gluten-free products. And remember Ingles, too, for your family's pharmacy needs, including vaccine and flu shots. American-owned with locations throughout the upstate. That's Ingles, where you'll always find low prices and you'll love the savings.
Carolina Direct Furniture, passing savings directly to their customers. Don't let Carolina Direct's warehouse fool you. It's stocked and ready for you. Bedroom, dining, sofas, rugs, lamps, mattresses, and more. They are a locally owned family store that operates with a low overhead to present you with the savings you deserve. Find them in Greer, where Pelham and Highway 14 connect, and they will connect you with the furniture and mattresses of your dreams. Check them out online at CarolinaDirect.com. Mention the Roar for an extra 5% discount.
Trucks cost less than Travelers Rest, and George Coleman Ford has brand new F-150s in stock awaiting you. It's been quite a while since I could say that, so act now and take advantage. Select XLT model F-150s. Receive an additional $1,000 rebate with qualifying financing through Ford Motor Credit, who has low interest rates on 48, 60, and 72 months. And in many cases, those rates are better than banks and credit unions. George Coleman Ford, the very best, right there in Travelers Rest.
Electric City Signs and Neon, over 50 years of sign design, fabrication, installation, and maintenance in the upstate, specializing in neon, plastic, flex face, channel letter, and LED message signs. Electric City Signs is ready to serve you with the highest level of satisfaction. Have questions? No problem. Their experienced team will see your project through inception to installation. Professional sign services at the best price. It's got to be Electric City Signs and Neon. Visit electriccitysigns.com or call 225-5351 today. Go Tigers!
Gilstrap Roofing has an experienced team that specializes in shingle, metal, and flat roofs for residential, commercial, and industrial customers. Their dedication to complete customer satisfaction is why a large portion of their business comes from repeat customers and referrals. If you need a full-service roofing contractor that has over 80 years of experience and takes pride in top customer satisfaction, Gilstrap Roofing has got you covered. Call for your free roofing estimate today at 269-1232 and online at gilstraproofing.com.
Want a fast-paced sports talk show with lots of college football?
I feel the need for speed.
Ow! Then keep up with Kwok and Ben on Out of Bounds. Weekdays noon to 3 on 105.5 and 97.5 The Roar, where every day is game day.
Don't rock the jukebox. Want to hear some Jones. My heart ain't ready for the Rolling Stones.
All right, hour one continues. Out of Bounds. William Quagenbush, Ben Milstead with you. Ben, you took Michigan State minus 1.5. Michigan State is up 7. That was a nasty dunk on the break just now with about 5 minutes left in the first half. Michigan State is up 28-21 on USC. Xavier and Kennesaw State, this game is scary to me because some of Kennesaw's numbers make me think they're going to give up 90 in this game. But Xavier is also a team that can hemorrhage some points. And right now it's an 8-point game, Xavier over Kennesaw State early, 13-5. Shout out to intern emeritus Sanders Sullivan, who is running the video operation at Kennesaw right now. It's a big game for Kennesaw. They were a team that probably was a little bit overseeded at a 14, probably should have been more like a 15, maybe even a 16 seed. But like I say, excuse me, there are some times where Xavier really has bothered me with the way that they just have not guarded, which is weird for a Sean Miller team to not guard, to be very offensively driven. You're taking the points in this game with Kennesaw.
Yeah, I am, and not looking good so far, but we'll see. I the thing about that matchup, and it's more about seeding, is that the 14s normally play well. Like, they play inspired, and we were talking earlier about ones, twos, and threes maybe sort of taking their limping into the beginning of the game and taking things easy. Doesn't appear to be the case for Xavier right now, but long way to go. A couple of follow-ups from conversation with Brett. First, and I didn't tell you this, I did flip and take Creighton instead of NC State.
Oh, you did. Okay.
I just, for all the reasons Brett said, and I thought, do I really want to be sitting here watching basketball and in the back of my mind pulling for the Wolfpack? I would rather be wrong and happy than right and miserable.
Oh, that's funny now. You know what? You're so right, though. You're so right. I know so many people who have taken Creighton in their brackets because they can't. They just really want to see NC State go down. You know what? I think that's why a lot of people got burned by Arizona yesterday, because they really didn't want to pencil Alabama into the Final Four. And so they were taking, like, at some point, Alabama's got to lose. They got to lose. You got to take them out, because you just want that for the basketball universe and for your personal enjoyment. And so I think that's a lot of what enamored people with Arizona. That and the fact that they score a lot of points, which we can get to that a little bit later on. I'm glad that you saw the light, though, on this, because my second favorite play of the day is Creighton minus -5. I think Creighton's winning by 15+. I think they're blowing out NC State.
Yes, I like it. It feels good to be on the right side of this. The other thing I wanted to talk about is Tony Bennett. And I don't know where you stand on this. I hope I'm not insulting you when I say this. For me, it is short-sighted to even have conversations about this damaging that dude's legacy because of his first round departures in the Big Dance. And here's why I say that. Number one, it's happened back-to-back years, both years to a 13 seed, so that sticks in our mind. And I get it. But the fourth 13 is the percentages of an upset there are very similar to that of a 5-12. We had those here at the beginning of the week.
That's right.
So if it's a so just think about this. If that's a 5-12 matchup, it's still an upset, but it's more acceptable. And my point is, the 4-13, we almost need to start looking at that as the same way as we do the 5-12. The other thing is, he's taken Virginia to the NCAA tournament 9 times, and he's lost the opener 4 of those. One of those, he was an underdog. But of course, the one that sticks out is the number one seed losing to UMBC. And then these last two as a 4 seed losing to a 13 seed. We forget, though, that the man's got a national championship in there, an Elite Eight in there, a couple of second-round losses, a Sweet 16 loss. The body of work for him, I don't care. I don't care if he goes in as a 1 seed and loses to a 16 again. The thought that that somehow damages his legacy and a black mark on his resume, to me, is nuts, man. That is nuts. There's, except for about 5 teams in America, you would love to have their postseason resume.
Oh, absolutely. I think there are two different things that can be true at once here. And I think you're right. There are people dumping this data point in the wrong bucket, and they are drawing the wrong conclusion from this. And this is where I'm going to need people to hear what I am saying, and I don't hear what I'm not saying on this. Because whoever you think I'm talking about, I'm really talking about Tony Bennett, and I'm really talking about coaches that underperform in the NCAA tournament. How you do in the NCAA tournament is not a barometer, in my opinion, or let me rephrase, should not be a barometer above all the other stuff that you do with the other 4 months of your season, year after year after year. What you do in a 2 to 10 day span, a 2 to 20 day span or whatever, should not define you more than the 4 months of the season. I just don't believe that. Think about this. I can say, because I like picking the games right in the bracket, it is a right thing to say, as I did on Twitter yesterday, and I'm quoting myself here, at 4:01 p.m. Eastern Time, in 12 NCAA tournaments, Tony Bennett's teams have underperformed their seed line 7 times, and only overperformed once. Now, I'm going to stop, and I'm going to tell you what that means. That means if you are a one or a two seed, you should get to an Elite Eight. Anything, if you're a one seed, by the way, and you get past the Final Four, I give you marks there. Because we don't seed people like the top two or the one, right? So Virginia was plus two. They went two games further the year they won the national championship. That's the only time that Tony Bennett has ever overperformed his seed. Seven times out of 12, they've done that. I think that is right to point out. And let me just go back and show you a couple other teams that you should not trust in March. And I'm going to tell you why I think people are making way too much of this. Rick Barnes, that Louisiana team they played last night, not very good. Not super talented. They missed like every three. Their best shooter was like 2 for 15 from three last. It was bad. It was bad. And Tennessee's in a 5-point game with 3 minutes left. You should never trust Rick Barnes. Why? Because history says you shouldn't trust Rick Barnes. You know another guy you shouldn't trust? Bob Huggins. They lost the coin flip game yesterday. Bob Huggins, in a 25 trips to the tournament before this, I had him scored as a -7, okay? They lose.
That one surprises me.
Yeah, it does. And you know what? There are some coaches that you should trust that you might not think. You know, you would think the more tournaments you have, the more likely you are to underperform. Jim Larrañaga is a coach you should trust. And it's not just the George Mason run. He's done a good job in his career. Tom Izzo is another one. Rick Pitino is another one. These are coaches with long track records of performing at or above their seed line. But Bob Huggins is a freaking Hall of Famer. Tony Bennett is a Hall of Famer. He has won 6 ACC regular season titles, 3 ACC tournament titles. My man has a national championship ring. And there are people that say, well, he can't do it in March. He literally did in March.
Yeah, I just don't like drawing like career-defining conclusions based on a game. I mean, we're talking about this today because of a game yesterday. At the same time, it is also fair, though, to say, is there something that you need to do differently to where you don't get upset by a 13 seed? Texter brings up an interesting point. Is it that Virginia and Tony Bennett gets the most out of his players, maybe gets more than what you really think they're even capable of doing, and then they kind of come back down to earth in the postseason? Like, I do think he gets everything. I mean, you watch the career Kihei Clark's had, you could say coach got everything and more out of that kid. But at the same, like, do you, I saw an article by somebody this morning, you know, suggesting that, well, he needs to scrap what he does and play a faster tempo. And my pushback to that would be, do you really want a guy to ask a coach that's as tenured as he is to try to change his style at this point in a career? Number one, you're going to tell him that and he's going to laugh at you.
Right.
A coach like that, he's not changing who he is. This is who he is. It also, he has so much success in a regular season. Do you upset that? Like what is the trade-off for asking him to do something that he obviously is not comfortable doing? I think you let, if Tony Bennett's your coach, you let him coach the way that he's comfortable coaching. Whether we as fans like watching it or not is really irrelevant to this. I'll take that guy's success and my chances in the NCAA tournament any day.
Absolutely. I don't think there's any question that what he does works. Because if not, he wouldn't win a zillion regular season games. And again, win the ACC more than half the time. Lest we forget, Virginia was not really that far away from winning the ACC this year. Being the one seed and considered the best team in the country. I mean, Virginia, to answer your question, I don't know why the ACC struggles with Virginia so when teams in it, like little tiny schools in the NCAA tournament, not no offense to Furman, but that's...
But it is what it is.
Schools from the America East and the SoCon can figure it out.
And a lot of schools play them twice a year. So you have a lot more opportunity to figure it out. And he's had great success in conference play.
And really in pre-conference. Yeah. You look November and December, they're winning conference games. I think some of it has to do with the value that they place on long possessions and like short possession games, and the opportunity for a team that literally has nothing to lose. If you play a team, and we don't have time to go into this, I think when you play a team in November, there's a much different feel about what you're trying to get from your team and what you're willing to do than when you play a team in March.
More on this on the other side. I do have a thinking out loud thought there.
Okay, we'll talk about that. Right now, Michigan State is up 1-32-31 on USC. Xavier's up 5 with 11.5 minutes left in the first, 22-17 on Kennesaw State. UCSB and Baylor about to tip off shortly as well. Hour one is done. Hour two is next.
WCCP-FM 105.5, Clemson, Greenville, Anderson. WAHT-AM 1560, Cowpens. 97.5, Spartanburg. We are the Roar.
Since 1917, Harbin Lumber Company has been a top lumber and building supplier in the industry. Their number one asset is their employees, people who are dedicated to providing quality building products and contractor services. People just like you, working to grow and be a part of the community. From construction projects to large remodeling jobs, see the hardworking folks people have entrusted for nearly 100 years. Harbin Lumber Company, serving South Carolina, Georgia, and North Carolina, and online at harbinlumber.com.
Mattress shopping? Look no further than Engineered Sleep. Visit their showroom in Greenville and try the ES Duo, this two-piece hybrid.